Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show once again. We're glad you've had the chance to join today, or maybe you were listening to the show that comes on just before us and you're sticking around to learn how to truly get to financial freedom. And for those of you that have made the decision to join a real estate investor platform, we are happy for your decision. We think it's probably the right decision. Depends on what you do next. And you have to understand that the large majority of folks that join the real estate investor platforms out there do not take action. And that's at all levels, lest you think it's just the people that are spending $500 or so for the the weekend workshop. And it's pretty amazing. And, you know, a lot of things happen along the way that affect those that make that decision. And we'll talk about some of that because we hear some incredible stories on the air, including the ones that were, or the one that was on just before this show that we'll seek to clarify for you, because I'm probably the only one on the radio, aside from the owners, that I've got a 20-year history with that organization and members. I do a lot of tax planning and tax compliance work for those folks. I know the program inside and out. I was also a member, and I can help you unravel some of the entertainment. That's what they call it, going into the show and coming out. It's not investment advice, God forbid, it's entertainment. Your retirement, your financial freedom is entertainment to those folks. And I'm not sure how that grabs you, but it's offensive to someone like me, even though I have succeeded in spite of, I'm going to say in spite of them, and I will give kudos to them on some fronts, and I still refer people to join that organization and others for the right reasons. There are the right reasons, and we'll help you understand that, and we'll help you fully exploit any of the platforms that you choose to make that decision with, if you choose to make a decision to join the platform. And there's, for some of you, there may not be the value proposition that would necessarily translate to paying the fees. On the other hand, it absolutely is appropriate for many people, especially if you're new to real estate, you're new to investing in REPs, which are real estate private partnership syndications, and we do feel like there's potentially significant value. It typically relates more to which platform you join and how they promote some of their strategies. And I'm happy to have that discussion with anybody within the sound of my voice. If you would go to the BAPlanner.com website, that's BEAPLANNER.com, and give me a little bit of information in our intake forms about your facts and circumstances, and then click the schedule a call link and sign up for an introductory call. Happy to do that. No charge, just complimentary, because I have been there. I made the decision many years ago, back in 2003, and I absolutely do not regret it. In my situation, it made immense sense. And of course, the markets were different back then. Back then, you couldn't invest directly with real estate private partnership syndications. You were pretty much forced to join the platform, and that's all changed now. And happy to give you some of those insights, and then try to give you some direction as to which platform might make sense for you. I want to take a minute just to elaborate on the disclaimer that you heard at the top of the show, and I want to go a little bit further, at least with regard to NP Ross, or Nathan Ross, and tell you that In addition to my discussions here on this show, not representing KSEV's opinion necessarily, just because I talk about topics, especially ones related to tax or real estate investing, it doesn't make me your accountant, nor MP Ross CPAs, nor BeAPlanner.com, just because you hear something on the air. And I guess I would even go further and say, if you hear something on the air, there's a real good reason to go check with your own current tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisors who know more about your facts and circumstances than I or the folks that you hear on the hour before me or other radio stations, podcasts, etc., that have no clue what your current facts and circumstances are and whether or not the information's current, whether it might help you, might hurt you. We know none of that, and all we can tell you is the general rule. And on most questions that come in, I'll probably tell you, well, maybe is the answer. It's not yes or no until we know more, and then we might know which exceptions under the tax code would apply to you. And knowing whether to turn left or turn right is what planning is all about. And I'm going to tell you right now that there are many, many more pages of the Internal Revenue Code that deal with the exceptions to the rules than the rules themselves. And that should give you some comfort that, you know, there are multiple options to save taxes and create wealth with that savings. And in any event, it's a matter of working with someone that understands that. And I've been for, you know, I hate to admit how long I've been doing this. It's a long time, 30 plus years, 35 plus years now. But, you know, there's something of a comfort zone in having seen and done things so many times, and especially at the intersection of real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, private syndications or private partnerships involving multifamily apartment investments. And now the latest, I guess, objective is to get us down in the lowest possible tax brackets ASAP because of what's going on in Washington. And I'm going to tell you, it's not political necessarily. It is at a certain level, of course. It's just math. We cannot maintain the rate of spending, the deficits that we're generating without taking in more tax revenues. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, it means your rates are going to go up. I don't care what strata you're in. And this, I'm going to call it baloney, that an old term, old school. It is absolute baloney to think that it's only those that are making $400,000 or $1 million, depends on which new tax rules we're getting ready to have you want to discuss, will be affected. That's just that's like saying Obamacare was going to cut our health care costs. Okay, it did momentarily, perhaps because of the government subsidy, but health care costs continue to escalate, and in many cases we're right back where we were in terms of our annual premiums or monthly premiums as when it first occurred. And of course, you know, coverage arguably may not be as good. It depends on which option you have. But in any event, I wanted to just suggest to you that, again, we're not your accountant yet. I suppose if you find some of this content intriguing and you understand that we can add a sixth way to the five ways that the show that comes on just before ours has mentioned, and I would suggest it may have interest to more than a few of you. And today's show will be somewhat unique in that for the first time I'm actually going to have an attorney visit for a few minutes to explain what we do for folks that have some wealth or some retirement savings, but they don't think they can access it, and they live in the great state of Texas, and they're married. And I'm going to underscore that by saying happily, because the legal opportunity, mechanism, etc., is not something you want to undertake in the throes of a contemplated separation or divorce. That said, most of the clients we work with, both spouses are on board with getting started with their real estate investing, and they know that, you know, it's a team sport, and it's really not something that will be nearly as successful if, you know, there's a spouse that doesn't feel committed and doesn't understand the math on these investments. And I find that those that are most successful have both spouses in the know, so to speak. So we'll be talking with my attorney here at some point. I think it'll probably be here in the next segment, and I'll quiz him on just enough of the detail to let you know how we go about doing that. Well, okay, let's circle back after the break. I hear the music, so I'm going to tell you that if you would like to call in today, you can reach us at 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV, the Voice of Texas. We'll be right back.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Catch Chris X Radio weekdays at 4, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Just listening to Sleepy Joe's latest edicts. Oh, I'm sorry. I get my tyrannical leaders who marginalize portions of their population for political power mixed up. It's easy to do these days.
Chris X Radio, weekdays 4 till 6, right here on The Voice of Texas.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. Don't touch that dial. My program is coming up very shortly.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world, and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're going to discuss some off-ramps or exits that are overdue for many of you, and how you can get access to your retirement funds to generate higher gains, perhaps. And I know I hear the show that came on just before us had a list of five ways we make money in real estate. And, of course, one of them is with a huge capital gain acquisition. And, you know, I can't say that in 36 years I've ever had a client's tax return that we reported a capital gain when they bought the property. And so I'm going to call I'm going to call it on them. I'm not going to say what. I'm just going to tell you there is no capital gain in acquisition. If you bought a property at X number of dollars, unless it was your mother-in-law or unless it was like I bought and sold a bunch of properties at one point over the years in San Antonio, where we had a realtor that was a member of a church with probably an average age in the congregation of 80 to 85. Okay, we got some deals where they weren't on the market yet and they were clearly under market. And you know what? We didn't book any capital gains at acquisition. So, you know, I'm not going to say that buying a property under market doesn't create the possibility, but the reality is markets go up, markets go down. And when you're talking about single family properties, you're cap is what the person or the neighbor you had three blocks away just sold his house for 2 months ago, his or her house. And so lest you think you actually have an acquisition, you have an acquisition when the title company's wire clears your bank account when you exit. That's when you realize whatever that supposed gain on acquisition was. But that's not to say we don't keep score. It's good. Add it to your scorecard. But it, again, it's not yours until the check clears the bank years later. Hopefully, you are able to sell in an up market with the property having appreciated more than just inflation. And I think a lot of us lose track of that. So in any event, I've got two more ways we can make money. And my attorney, James Owen, is joining us now. And James is vital to one of those ways. James, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. I'm on my second cup of coffee here at 5:22 a.m. halfway around the world, and yeah. It's more and more necessary at my at our extended age. James and I are the same age, 61 years old. We went to third grade on up together, and so we have a long history, but. James, one of the things that I am amazed at times that you're able to do with some of the legal rules, and it is legal, by the way, I know it sounds too good to be true, is that when it comes to a married couple's retirement assets, whether they're being held at Fidelity for the, I don't know, I think AT&T is a good example. AT&T's plan, I believe, has Fidelity administer it. Or whether they're in an IRA already, let's say someone worked at some employer like AT&T for years and then left. So they were, you know, they either terminated their position or they were terminated, however you want to look at it. Or they turned old like James and I. They got older than 59 and a half. Well, then you could get access to your funds. Otherwise, there's very few ways you can get access to your funds. And I don't mean a hardship exception where you can pull, you know, $20,000 or $50,000 out or whatever. I mean you can get access to all your money, and we do that vis-a-vis a transfer of sorts that ends up with your spouse. But in any event, I would add that as one of the additional ways you make money, because I would suggest there are some exceptions, but typically we don't see the performance, the gains, if you will, in the assets that you're able to invest in with your company 401, as you might see, and I do underscore might see with real estate private placements. But anyway, I think you agree, I presume, that would qualify as a sixth way to make money, correct?
Sounds like it.
Well, in any event, the bigger issue is why doesn't your HR department raise this option in addition to the first two? And I guess they probably don't want to sow discontent. They could say, well, you could also get a divorce, right? And in that case, you probably won't have as much input, would be the nice word, into the judge's decision. So what James does involves you and your spouse making the decision on how much will be transferred. And so, again, that is a third option that the HR department won't tell you about. And they won't tell you at all about what James does. So, James, I'm going to let you talk for a few minutes and tell us, not to the granular level, but just generally,
right,
how do we do this?
Well, in a limited number of jurisdictions, and Texas is one of them, you have the ability to, under our Constitution and our domestic relations laws, to partition your assets between spouses. And that provides a mechanism to withdraw without penalty and without paying taxes and rolling in into another, you know, tax-deferred situation, your retirement funds. You can take control over the investment that is presently under the control of a manager that your employer chooses. So, you know, just think about Enron, you know, where they have a plan and somebody's putting all the money in Enron stock, you know. You might not want to do that. You might want to direct your own investment. And then there's some people just advocate just to take your money and pay your penalty and pay your taxes, just rip that Band-Aid off and endure that pain. But you really pass up an opportunity to have access to those funds to grow your ultimate retirement if you go ahead and incur those obligations now. So
yeah.
we have a way to yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me interrupt you a second because I don't want to get too far away from you. You used two words I want to circle back to. You mentioned control, which, you know, we absolutely agree with other mentors that you need to be able to control your money. And I don't mean to pick between certain stocks or mutual funds or index funds or whatever. I mean you write the check to that syndicator or that sponsor, lead partner, whatever you want to call them. So control is at base what this strategy achieves. And I think, you know, we all want to check that box. I mean, whether or not we want to use that control to retire, I think that's number two. Or no, number two is invest in real estate. I'm sorry. We all agree with number two. We want to invest in real estate. And number three is I hear to retire. And I think what I would tell you is think about Marvin Zindler's sign off for many, many years on ABC, I believe Friday nights, or do whatever makes you happy. And that's what we would suggest. If you could wake up tomorrow and do what you want to do as opposed to what an employer wants, that's what we would suggest retirement is. And maybe it's to do what an employer wants. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? So, James, the other thing you talked about was, you know, some folks advocate, including the mentors that are on the radio right before us, heard it for years now. They didn't used to, by the way, but they do now. Rip the Band-Aid off, pay your taxes and penalties. You're going to have so much financial freedom, you won't miss it. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to see just how much financial freedom you're not going to have if you do that, go to the beaplanner.com, that's BEAPLANNER.com website, and scroll all the way to the bottom of that home page, and you'll notice an example that I show, an illustration of my 401 math model, and $350,000 401 account, or it could be an IRA, but I 401 is what I use because that's what's so common in the corporate world. And you'll notice once you decipher that, it's a drive-by, it's a fire hydrant, I get it, a lot of information there. But bottom line is, by you paying the $95,000 in tax on that $350,000, which is what I model there, that ends up taking $22 plus million out of your potential net worth, where it invested in partnerships that generated 20% a year returns on average. And I understand that's, you know, there's some assumptions there. Okay, run it at 15%, run it at 10, I don't care. The answer is still the same. It beats the heck out of ripping the Band-Aid off and sending a check to the IRS, because for the next 30 years, I model the next 30 years because most of us, maybe not James and I, I'm not sure. I think, 85, 86 is the current life expectancy for males. I believe it's 86, 87, 88 for females. It's a long time. And that's a long time that you've got to make money to be able to live. And I don't mean, like Neil Diamond's song, just getting by. We want to do more than just getting by. And when someone tells you that you can retire in 2.5 to 5 years and they don't ask you, at least in the same 5-minute conversation, how much money you have to get started, and they also fail to ask, not just clarify, they don't even ask how you define retirement. And I can tell you there's enough hints in some of the stories that you've heard on the radio that they're not talking about somebody that needs $150,000, $200,000, whatever, to live. They're talking about people that can make it on $50,000 or $60,000 after tax. Well, okay, that's a big difference between what's being promulgated by their training and what we know it takes to live into retirement. So I would tell you that we can buy twice as much financial freedom. If you're buying your time back, well, guess what? Here's the seventh way we can make money, and we use the tax leverage. We take that $95,000 or $94,500, whatever it is on that spreadsheet. I'm not on the site right now. That you would otherwise give to the IRS. And by the way, last time I checked, the IRS's rate of return on that payment you send them doesn't look real good. I believe it's still nada, you know, zero. You get nothing after that point. It's gone. Whereas if you invest it, $95,000 will get you two more $50,000 positions in a private real estate partnership. And if you look at the bounds on returns, and this is no guarantee now, I'm suggesting you've got to do your legwork. You've got to figure out which of the transactions you have options to invest in. And you do have options without joining anybody. But let's assume you join. You're going to have options to invest. And they are not all created equal. And I've got a spreadsheet that I've tracked, 50 or more of the transactions within several of the groups here in Houston. And I'll just tell you, the results range from 70% a year on the high end to 1.3 or 1.2 on the low end. So obviously you can recalibrate the math and realize that, hey, I'm not getting anywhere with the ones that I'm joining. So we'll try to help you analyze the math if you're working with us. We're not just going to throw you out there and tell you, oh, yeah, go watch a video. That's going to teach you how to read private placement memorandums, or it's going to teach you how to understand distribution waterfalls or concepts, key concepts like return on your capital versus return of your capital. These are things that will go right over your head, and you'll miss some of the benefits. You will not get as much financial freedom. You won't get as much time bought back if you don't understand these concepts. But James, you said something else there, and I guess I want to just really pound this in. You said our Constitution in the state of Texas. And I'm going to tell you right now, we all should drop down on our knees and thank the good Lord for either having us, as my wife uses the term, birthed us here, or we woke up and moved here as quick as we can, as the old joke goes, right?
Right.
Because
yeah.
Texas... and I'm not sure. I think there's a couple other community property states, like maybe Arizona, perhaps Washington, Nevada. There's a few, but there's not the one that you would think would allow it, which is California. California requires some sort of controversy to be in progress, like a separation or a pending divorce. But in Texas, happily married people that want to change their life by controlling their investment wealth accumulation can agree that this is how we want to split our assets. And if you think about it, this is nothing more than a different door or window into the same room you've probably heard about. You've heard about a prenup, which is a prenuptial agreement, which, well, James, you explain the difference between a prenup and a postnup and how common the latter is now, right?
Right. So a prenup is prior to marriage. Couples will agree regarding the character of their property and how it's characterized going forward, so that it's clear who owns what and what is going to be a community asset, what's going to be commingled. A postnup is an agreement that you can make pursuant to Texas law after you're married, and it allows you to segregate your property. You could say, well, you know, we have a couple of houses. That one's going to be mine, and I'm going to homestead that one, and that one's going to be yours, and you're going to homestead that one. And So that's a pretty simple thing to do. You just exchange a couple of deeds and sign an agreement that meets certain statutory requirements. But when you start talking about a postnuptial agreement and applying it to a retirement account or any other type of retirement vehicle, then you have to have a court order, a qualified domestic relations order, that the plan will accept. So it's a little bit more complicated than just saying we're going to divide our things up. But it is possible to do in Texas because our Constitution provides for it and our family code provides the statutory means to do it. And so that's the technique we use. It's pretty common for married couples to enter into post-nuptial agreements.
Yeah, especially these days,
right. Yeah, because you have a lot of
older couples and
second marriages, stepchildren, you know, so people living longer, and it can help facilitate a lot of planning to be able to do that. And so one of the things you can accomplish with those is this withdrawal without penalty and without incurring taxes presently. You're still in a tax-deferred situation, but you, as Nathan was pointing out, you get to use the IRS's money for another 20 or 30 years before you pay that tax.
Yeah, or not. You could choose to take it next week once the quadros, right? So you've got some flexibility. And, you know, one of the other reasons, in addition, James, and I know we've had experience with this with several of our clients is, you know, there are certain scenarios. And as an example, I'm going to cite the city of Houston municipal employee system because you've seen this in the news. So this isn't confidential information from me, but surely you've read about speaking of the U.S. budget being in, as they say, a hot mess. The city of Houston's not far behind, and specifically with regard to pension and retirement assets. And it's been a while since I've read the article, but I'll just tell you, it makes you sick to your stomach when you realize at a local level how much of a deficit we have. And, you know, it's amazing. It's just over the years, it's morphed. It can't, just like the feds, can gets kicked down the road, put a Band-Aid on it here, let you go out, you know, further into the esosphere with deficits. And now we turn around, and I can't remember exactly. James, you may have seen the number more recently. I believe it's at least $1 billion that those retirement plans, firemen, policemen, et cetera, and if it's not $1 billion, it's more than a half a billion. I lose track of the – I try not to look at that stuff because, it turns your stomach. But in any event, so, you know, your reasons for executing a post-nup may have nothing to do with, you know, wanting to control your money. Well, it has everything to do with wanting to control your money if a plan's in bad shape. But you may not necessarily agree with me that, you know, you should invest in real estate. Okay, I get it. But think about getting your money versus not getting your money.
It's just a pure exit strategy.
That's right. Because the math doesn't look good, you know.
Right. And then in some plans, where if you have a defined benefit plan that allows separate interest and lump sum withdrawals, then you can avoid the reduction that you see when a plan beneficiary terminates and the surviving spouse only gets half the benefit. Not all plans are that way, but you really need to look at the plan closely, because by exiting now, like you're talking about, and taking a lump sum amount of money, if you haven't already started your retirement, then you can avoid that reduction in benefit that you see if you just stick with the plan and something, God forbid, happens to the beneficiary, they pass away early. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not all about you know what you're going to do. It's about an exit strategy that meets your needs, that takes away some risk that you otherwise have. And the only way to know is really look at the plan. But
it's a great opportunity. It takes away the risk without the tax burden. Hey, James, we're kind of up to a break. I want to have just a couple minutes with you, let you talk just a little bit about the timeline, things like that, so people have an understanding, and then we'll move on. But anyway, let's sit tight. If you want to ask a question of either myself or James Owen, attorney, you can reach us at 281-558-5738. We'll be right back.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
Because of his illegal immigration crisis, Beijing Biden's lost control of the pandemic, so he's abandoned the Constitution in favor of vaccine mandates. From Ben Franklin, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. The rebellion against lawlessness is on in your daily excursion into critical thinking. The Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
Nathan Ross, and I'm returning back to our conversation with my attorney friend James Owen, who we use to execute the postnuptial agreements that have allowed many of our clients to access their funds. And James, what I wanted to talk about here, just let's see, we're in the we're starting the fourth segment of the show, so you take your time. I'm not worried about time.
Okay.
Give me a little bit of the timeline without going into, again, to the granular details. I know I've seen situations where it seems like you were able to get a postnup done in certainly less than 30 days versus others where it takes 3 months. And I know firsthand, just even on a rollover, you know, I remember working with a client that had a CAPERS plan, a Kansas employee retirement plan, where they up front, when you first contact them, just about a rollover, forget about a quadro or postnup, they said, we don't do anything for 30 days. We don't even start for 30 days. So that happens. That's not the mainstream. That's an anomaly. But in the postnup world, it seems like it's all over the board. It's never going to be 2 or 3 days. On the other hand, 2 or 3 months, I don't know that I would say that's average. It's certainly more towards average than you know, 2 or 3 weeks. But tell me your take as you see it firsthand.
Well,
and what are the different approval levels, right? Who's having to bless it?
Let's say we're in complete control of the agreement, the partition agreement, and what we want to do as far as our plan goes. But when we want to get an order approved, the process requires a filing with the court. And you can just file with the court and submit an order and get an order approved. But it's more prudent to initially pre-qualify that order with your plan administrator. That avoids you having to go back to court to clarify some minor point, because they're very, very technically specific orders. So depending on who is running the plan and how fast they respond, you could get that approval back within a couple of weeks, but from the plan administrator. So you say, here's my order. Is this going to be acceptable to you if I get the judge to sign it? And they'll review it, and they'll tell you yes, no, or make this change or that change. And they'll usually do that. They'll complete that process within a 30-day time frame, usually. I've had them complete them in 10 days. It depends on how busy they are, but they're entitled to a 30-day window.
Oh, okay. So legally they could take up to 30 days. Is that state of Texas rule, an ERISA rule? Who's
that's
saying?
That's an ERISA rule. So
ERISA is the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, I believe. So that's the federal statute that governs some retirement accounts, not all, but I believe the 401 falls into that umbrella. So, okay. And then, so you've got the plan administrator. Then some plans may actually outsource these special transfers, correct?
Right.
With a group that just focuses on post-notes or quadrants.
Qualifying the order. And I actually prefer it when a plan uses one of those entities, because that's all they do. And they're generally very responsive. So, we get a quicker turnaround. And then once they get the order back, the okay to give us the green light, that's a good enough order, then we have to file paperwork with the court and get the judge to review it and approve it. And, so far we've been very fortunate with our court filings. I know that some people in other parts of the state have had, bumps in the road as far as getting an approval from a judge. But, I've had approvals take a week from the judge. I've had approvals take 24 hours from the judge.
I remember some
of
those.
It just depends on what their work
and those,
their workload
and those
is like.
Are the ones, and those are the ones that don't like you as an attorney, if I recall, correct? James was at one point a county attorney. The county will remain nameless. So he's actually been elected to that office a few times over the years. So he knows the legal system where he's at. He knows the judges. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the first post-nups we worked on, you were shocked because the order came back in less than 24 hours, and you were saying, hey, Nathan, this may not get approved because this judge doesn't like me. And so it's good to know that, I guess, in James's case, when they don't like him, they want to get rid of whatever the order is right away. Let me approve this thing and get it out of here, right? So that's a good thing.
They're good judges, and they, all kidding aside, they don't let their personal feelings really dictate how they do their job.
That doesn't happen to at least the U.S. appellate level, maybe the Supreme Court. That's when all that stuff matters, right? That doesn't happen at the local level. they're just judges that need campaign contributions. Let's face it. That's the difference.
Well,
they're going to appeal both sides of the aisle.
So, have you run for office? I can tell you, everybody needs campaign contributions.
That's right. So you can't shut off half the aisle. You got to have both sides of the aisle. So anyway.
Well, I had a friend of mine who was a state legislator, and he always said that the rule of thumb for judges should be fair to everyone and kind to your friends. So,
well, you can see a real live case of that. I'm trying to think who the combatants were in a recent case at the Texas Supreme Court level where the judges didn't take the case initially. Dow, or I get them mixed up. Maybe it was Chevron, the group that had some American. This wasn't their foreign operations. All of them are in hot water in some of the rainforest areas. But in any event, they didn't see the case have merits until all of a sudden the plaintiff's counsel made, I think it's $250,000 donation to a couple of Supreme Court judges. Well, all of a sudden it merited being reviewed, and by God, it merited being overturned. And can you imagine? And I mean, the defense counsel, even in spite of knowing they might be shooting themselves in the butt, you know, had to call that out. And I just, boy, it's an incredible system that we have in local judicial elections. And I don't know. I've had some good judge experiences, and I've had others that you knew darn well the only reason whatever happened was because your attorney didn't contribute to the right judges. So once you have the approval from the plan administrator, then you go to the judge, or you go to the outsourced quadro manager, whoever that might be.
You go to the judge. The outsourced quadro manager is where you go first for the pre-approval. Once you have that pre-approval, you go to the judge, and once approved, then you can send it on to the quadro manager that approved it, that pre-approved it. You send the certified copy to them, and they process it through the plan. And again, they have that 30-day window, 30-ish day window, but a lot of them move faster than that. But some of them hold on to their money as many days as they can. So you're looking at, a 60 to 90 day maximum kind of window. But we've been able to do it usually within 30 to 45 days.
Well, that, and I know, I don't know if it's an ERISA requirement. It must not be, because I haven't seen it on every post-nup that we've done. But there's an appeals, usually a 30-day appeals window once it goes back. Is that to the quadro manager or to the plan administrator to transfer?
That's to the plan administrator. And what it is that in a controversy, there may be a dispute over what's going on with that order, right? Our orders are agreed orders. So when you have a situation where there may be a controversy over what's going on with that order, the participants have rights to appeal. And so, meaning the parties to the order, the husband or wife.
Right.
But our orders are pursuant to an agreement. And
well,
so,
not just that. There's also the ability to waive the appellate rights, I've seen with some of the administrators. So, you know, you don't necessarily end up in that boat. But the reason I'm trying to go through these steps, it's not because you're going to go do your own post-nup, your own qualified domestic relations order. Trust me, these are not DIY strategies. But I want you to understand, James has been through this. He's successfully got to the finish line in each and every occurrence. There's always risk. I know there's some counties where, you know, we've picked up a case that was denied in, say, Montgomery County or Fort Bend, and James understands how to refile that action in another county and get it done. But it will get done, typically. And I want you to understand that he knows, he's giving you just enough of the details where we're kind of explaining what might happen, what has happened, both, you know, very efficiently and in some cases less efficiently. And trust me, James has had to work some magic along the way. But I think it's helpful. It is to me, and I know more about this than probably anybody listening on the radio, because there's a lot of gray, there's a lot of fog around these transactions. And I guess for real estate investors, to bring it full circle, all of these steps happen. And at the end of the day, we do a rollover to, in most cases, a 401 trust, which if you've listened to the show, you understand that's what we like using to invest in real estate. It incurs no tax if it's invested in the right transactions. In other words, rental real estate. It can't be invested in a trade or business. And we have the ability to invest for many years without incurring the tax that others would have you pay on the front end. Two last things I want to mention real quick. James himself has a 401 trust, so you understand, and as do I, As Larry Ellison would say, we're eating our own dog food. You know, Ellison was the CEO of Oracle, and they were obviously using their own software. And then secondly, one of the platforms in Houston, Steve Davis's Total Wealth Academy, is a platform for those of you that are trying to find out how to do this stuff. You should consider joining because Steve gets it. Steve understands that you can double your retirement wealth if you will utilize the right code sections and, in this case, the right statute. And before you rip that Band-Aid off, again, we want to give you more financial freedom, and we want to buy more of your time back than you can any other way under the Internal Revenue Code. There is no other option under the code that allows you to not pay tax on your gains as you move forward. An IRA won't do it. An IRA is subject to the just generally the UBIT tax, unrelated business income tax. The 401 has an exception for passive rental real estate. So anyway, James, we're getting ready to hear the music, I think, here. And I had just a couple of comments to wrap up, but I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm sure I'm going to get emails this week. In fact, I've already gotten a couple here while we're on the phone that perhaps we can address another day. And if you've got time, maybe, I don't know, once every other month or whatever, it'd be nice to have you come on and give us any insights you've learned in the last 2 months, because, you know, this is an area that is not always vanilla as you would like it, and yet at the end of the day, success is within your grasp. And for those of you that are thinking, hey, I would love to invest in those apartment transactions, but all my money's tied up in the company's 401, it's really not. You just got to know where to turn and how to ask the right questions. And by the way, none of your HR directors will even know about this option. Most attorneys, I think there may be three attorneys in the whole state of Texas that know about this provision for the reasons that it's being executed with our clients. Now, obviously, every attorney that does family law has been through divorces where quadros were part and parcel of the judicial orders that result. But this is not, in fact, you can go to the Department of Labor's website. The Department of Labor executes ERISA for most retirement accounts. They've got an FAQ on the quadro, the Qualified Domestic Relations Order. And you'll have in black and white what James and I have been talking about today, where you don't, this isn't gray, this is black and white, and you do not need to be getting a divorce. It says it right there in one of the questions that's answered, and it's that clear. It's not fuzzy, nothing about it's fuzzy. And the only thing that's fuzzy is when an attorney, like one of the other three that does this, will tell you, oh, you should just take the money out once we get it repartition, because you're not going to pay the 10% tax or 10% penalty. Still going to pay the tax. Well, how about we pay no tax or penalty, and you've got the next 30 years if you need it, or however long you want, it could be the next 30 days to enjoy the money. Well, there's the music. We're wrapped up for this week. James, thanks again, and let's think about getting you back on. I'll see what questions come in. Maybe we do that sooner rather than later. All right. We appreciate you joining the show, listeners, as well as James, and we look forward to coming back on other matters next week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV. Woo! All right. Ow!